welcome to another edition of Money Matters. My name is Mark Cuniberti. Before we begin, remember, discussions in this show should not be construed as specific recommendations or investment advice. Always consult with your investment professional before making important investment decisions. I am an investment advisor representative through Cambridge Investment Research Advisors Incorporated, a registered investment advisor. Indices mentioned are unmanaged and cannot be invested into directly. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. Investing involves risk. Depending on the types of investments, there may be varying degrees of risk. Investors should be prepared to bear loss, including total loss of principal. And remember, the views expressed are my opinions only. They do not necessarily reflect those of Cambridge, this station, its staff, members, or underwriters. This is show number 306. Welcome back, and I do welcome you back. The station has been on a skeleton crew because of the Corona event, and normally I am on at least live noon on Thursdays, first and third Thursdays of the month. But the governor of California, Gavin Newsom, is giving his updates on the state of the state, if you were to call it that. And so we're doing these condensed half-hour versions airing during the evenings just to kind of keep you updated on the market. We thought it was time to get back. So welcome back for sure. We've got a lot to cover in such a little bit amount of time, so we'll get right to it. There will be no call-ins. Sorry about that. But when we get back to our live shows, which we hope will be fairly shortly, then we'll be back to the call-in format, of course. This show is about money, as money does matter and matters of money affect us all in some way or another, whether you have a lot of it, a little of it, or none of it. It controls our economy, our country, our planet in some way or another, controls the very way we live our lives. It's about your money or lack of it or abundance of it. It's about our lives and livelihood. In short, money matters is about you. Okay, so, you know, we've come a long way for sure. Okay, approved by regulators around February 10th. Penned an article for some of the media outlets that I write for. And we had said February 10th that the markets, in my opinion, very close to all-time highs, were not taking the consideration of the event of the coronavirus under consideration. And the reason how I arrived at that is I got a message from a friend of mine that had been traveling over in Asia. And he said, you know, there's this virus that they've got. And it's called, I think they called it at that time, it was another name, I can't remember the name. And he said, you ought to look into this because there's this large city out here, the city of Wuhan in the Hubei province, where this virus was thought to originate. He said, that's vacant. And I already knew that there was already talk in the markets that the analysts and myself, we were concerned that Chinese GDP, Chinese gross domestic product, which is all the money that circulates in an economy for every good and service that's sold, was about 6%. The growth was about 6%. And we were worried that the Trump tariffs were going to knock it down to 4%. And everybody was really scared that that was going to bring the Dow and the American markets, indeed the global markets, down, make them fall from 6 to 4%. So I went on the website of Worldometers. I found a website that gave me the current infection rates and deaths and how many countries that this thing has affected. Now, back then, when I first started looking at it in February, the deaths were, the cases were somewhere around 20,000-25,000. And the deaths were running about 3-4%. And so I thought, wow, that's interesting. So I looked up a couple of other cities, and we saw that there was really concern in China and in some of those cities that were around Wuhan that this virus was really kind of getting out of hand. So what I thought is I already knew that there were tremendous gains in this market since 2016. Everybody was looking at. And I wanted to retain what gains were there. And I was looking kind of for an excuse for to unload portfolios. And I think I coined it as many as some other analysts had said, that it was a bubble looking for a pin. So I looked into viruses, and the most recent one I could find was the SARS virus of 2003. So I looked back at what that did. Now, the SARS virus dropped Chinese GDP by 1%. And that was significant. Remember, we were worried about Chinese dropping GDP 2% because of the tariffs. But in 2003, when SARS hit, it dropped at 1%. But here was the hook. SARS only infected about 9,500 people. Now, it had a higher mortality rate of around 9%, but it was only 9,500 people. And I went, whoa. If SARS at 9,500 people dropped Chinese GDP by 1% because of the fear, and I was looking at 20,000, 25,000 cases already in an empty city in China, I thought, oh boy, this is going to have a bigger effect. So I penned the article, was approved, said this market is near all-time highs. I'm going to be watching this thing. And I started watching it daily, and I saw the infection rate starting to climb and climb and climb. So around the last week of February, the market really ran into a little bit of trouble. And I decided on March 2nd to, and again, mentioned on previous and approved, that we were going to start unloading on March 2nd. We unloaded about 90%, somewhere in there. And then I penned the article around the 10th, and the Dow was almost at an all-time high right on that day. And so I started watching it, and it had dropped, the Dow had dropped to, somewhere around, you know, it had dropped a couple of thousand points into going in the late part of February, and it popped up early part of March, and that's when we actually made the initial sales, because this thing was eroding, and we wanted to retain what we had. And then it just plummeted off the cliff. The Dow went from 27,090 all the way down to 18,591. And that was on March 23rd. So that fall in the markets, it was an all-time high. Remember, it was an all-time high on February 12th when we penned the article. And somewhere around, 4 or 5 weeks later, it was knocked down about 38%, the Dow was. Now, from the Dow's high to about a week later, it went into a bear market. So what we saw, it was the fastest decline on record to go from an all-time high to a bear market and then actually into correction territory, which is down 20%, and it continued to fall. And so right around March, I think it was 21st or 23rd, somewhere in there, we actually put out another approved statement saying that this thing had fallen, and it started to recover into right around March 25th, and so we started adding securities again. So basically, in a nutshell, the Dow, because of Corona, had a 38% correction to its bottom, but 38% correction, which ended on March 23rd, and since then it's been bouncing around, and it is today sitting at, at least when I'm recording this, at 25,000 and some change, 25,500. Now, the question is, what happens next? And that is an excellent question. This market has had one of the best months it's ever had. And so we have to look at the disconnect between the economy and the tremendous, tremendous unemployment. So we look at unemployment from the Bureau of Labor Statistics, the BLS, and what do we find? Well, the total non-farm payrolls employment, that's kind of a interesting number, but we already know the April figures are about 20 million unemployed. Now, normally we're running about 3.8 million, seasonally adjusted. It basically means it's adjusted for the year, but kind of average, smoothed out. And so we were usually running about 3.8 million, and the April numbers came in at around, we think, around 20.5 million. Now, on May 28th, we saw that the U.S. jobless claims passed 40 million, and with a real jobless rate of over 23.9%, that's the worst we've seen since the Depression. And so we're kind of wondering, you know, why is this in such a disconnect? It keeps jumping up. Now, I had forecasted that we were going to see, when this thing started to really get bad, I thought, okay, we're going to probably see, in my opinion, around total figure of around 50 million unemployed, and we're going to see about 25% of the retail businesses in the United States go under. Since then, of course, we've had these tremendous stimulus packages. We've had the stimulus payments of $1,200 per qualified adult and $500, I think it was $500 per qualified child or dependent. And a tremendous amount of money went up, a couple of trillion dollars. Remember, in 08 and 09, there were a tremendous amount of bailouts, but those bailouts total around $5 trillion, and a lot of that went into the banking and the financial systems. It really didn't go to Main Street. And so we did see a recovery from 08 and 09, but we did not really see the average Joe have a recovery. I mean, in 08 and 09, sure, the stock market went up and inflation started to take off a little bit, but we really didn't see a large amount of improvement in nominal wages for the average Joe. And that's because most of that money went into the financial system from the Federal Reserve in a variety of programs, which we call quantitative easing or asset purchases. Basically, what the Fed does is it creates money, and it went out in 08 and 09 and it bought all the debt that the financial system couldn't sell. Basically a lot of mortgages, and then of course bonds went under. Bonds are IOUs from various entities and government agencies, and it couldn't sell these. The banks couldn't sell them, the hedge funds, pension plans couldn't sell them. It was basically an illiquid market, and so feds came in and cranked up all this money and gave it into the financial system. Now what we saw, if the money didn't go to Joe Blow, because the common complaint was people were still struggling, where did it go? Well, the stock market went from around 17,000 and some change to 29,000 in the last 3.5 years. So we could say, because of that money went into the financial services industry and a financial system like the banking industry, we could say that with it, they could have loaned it out. The banks could have loaned it out. And if you remember the old cat calls of, we have to get the banks lending again. But they really didn't lend it out for the most part. Remember that call? Got to get the banks lending again. What they did with it is two things. One, there was a lot of stock buybacks and a lot of repurchase agreements to buy back their stocks from companies. So the stock price would rise. And then, of course, bonuses would be paid to the CEOs and VPs of these companies that have certain trigger points. If the stock hits a certain point, they get some bonuses. What they also did with it, the financial systems, is they can, at their election, instead of loaning it out, they can park it back right where it came from, right where they got it. They park it back at the Federal Reserve. And they do that under a program called excess reserves. What it does is the bank has to keep a certain percentage of money in its coffers, certain percentage, for the amount of loans that it has out. So let's say it has $100 billion in loans that are out there. And it has a certain amount of deposits. It can loan out about 90% of the money that it has, but it has to keep a little bit in reserve in case people come to the bank and want money, right? So we don't have a, quote, run on the bank. But if it has extra, and really, the ratio, the percentage that they have to have is really not that much. I mean, surprisingly, it's sometimes in the area of a couple of percentage points. So what they do is if they have any more than that, it just sits in their coffers and doesn't make any money. So they can loan it out, but then they have to have more reserves. They can loan it out and get interest on it, but they don't want to loan it out. They can park it right back at the feds, and the feds will pay them interest on it. So they don't have to worry about not being paid back by you and me. They can just get interest free from the Fed. So the Fed gives them money for their bad loans. They can loan a little bit of it out, which they did, and they park the rest back at the Federal Reserve under the excess reserve, and they get free interest on it. So the money that they got for the bailout in 08 and 09 went into the stock market. We saw that. It went terribly, terribly high. And then it went back to the Federal Reserve under excess reserves. Now, this time around, with all these stimulus payments, we're seeing a variety of payments, the $1,200 per person and the $500 per child. And then they have the Paycheck Protection Plan, the PPP, where they're going to give you a loan. And if you use that money that you get the loan money on, if you hire somebody back, the loan can be forgiven. And then, of course, they also went and they relaxed the requirements for unemployment. Normally, if you go to unemployment, let's say you make $1,000 a month, they might say, okay, verify your unemployment, and then they might give you $800 a month. So they give you close to what you were making. Well, what they also enacted is the bonus, the $600 a week bonus. So let's say I was a guy that was cutting lawns and I could verify that I was working and I was unemployed because of Corona. So I was making $600 a month and I would go to unemployment and unemployment would say, okay, we're going to pay you $400 a month to make up for most of what you lost for being unemployed because of Corona. But then what they adopted was a $600 a week bonus. So where I was getting $400 or $500 a month for my inability to cut lawns. Now I was getting that money plus $600 a week, $2,400. So they're giving out a tremendous amount of money. And that is going to a lot of people that are qualified to receive it. So that money is going into the economy. So with the disconnect that we've seen in the market, now that some of the states are opening up or partially opening up, we are seeing surprisingly a lot of buying. I mean, I've been around my local town here and there's people out and some of the stores are saying they're doing a landmine business. Now, obviously not everybody is doing a landmine business. And I know that a lot of small businesses are not. The restaurants are hurting. Even if a restaurant was allowed to open, you know, they got creative. They were doing curbside service, which is, I think, was, you know, brilliant. But, you know, in no way brought in what they had made before. And now they're opening up, but then there's, because of the social distancing, they're only opening up, you know, they're only allowed to fill every other table. And doing that, you know, you can't pack a restaurant. So it's very, very difficult to make any money in small businesses. So it's going to be very difficult for these small businesses. But we are seeing some areas that are booming. Now, I did hear today that car sales were off, you know, oh gosh, just a horrible, horrible amount. They were down like 30-something percent. So people are not going back into the car dealers as much. But we are seeing, as far as the stock market, some of the companies that are the video conferencing companies and the stay-at-home economy and the Netflix of all the things that you do when you're at home. And, of course, the spice companies could be running, and somebody tells me there's no flour because people are cooking. And I was thinking, hey, wow, I've heard a lot of people are staying home and just cooking and eating and having good time. And I was thinking, well, what about Weight Watchers and Nutrisystems? A lot of people are going to be gaining weight or have gained weight. I know I've gained a little bit of weight. So that may be an area that we could look into a little bit later, right? So it has been extremely volatile. For me, as an analyst, I have just been, you know, swamped with looking at the markets and looking at the Dow Jones and seeing what's moving. And I have been really, really shocked. I mean, when we started shopping somewhere around, you know, the March 2nd or 3rd, the market has been, you know, it went from 18,000, the Dow 18,591 to 25,383. If we take our quick rusty dusty calculator and do a little bit of division here, we will see that the market has run 27% from its lows, and it has this amount of percentage from its high. The market's only now down 14%, was it, where it was down 38%, at least referencing to the Dow. So the question is, what happens now? Well, with the businesses opening up, what we did learn in Asia when they opened up, one, we pray that we didn't open up too early. I mean, you know, we do not want this resurgence again, because this stay-at-home order really has been devastating on the economy. We have never really seen this kind of damage before. I mean, we've never shut down, right? Not since the Spanish flu. And we're seeing, you know, total states in lockdown. It's just been incredibly just stunning what I've witnessed, both in the markets and in the economy. You know, thank goodness that the government has actually stepped forward, in my opinion, and thrown a lot of money at this. I still know that a lot of people are hurting, but there are areas where people at least have money to buy. We just saw an article that the people are going to one of these super stores like Walmart or Costco or Target, and they're buying electronic equipment. So where's that money coming from? So the stimulus money is out there. Now, there is talk about more programs. There's the CARE program. There are some relaxed rules for withdrawing money from your retirement accounts and having a lot of time to pay it back if you need money there. I know that there is more talk about extending the unemployment bonus. The $600 bonus a week is extended to the end of July. But now, of course, they're talking about extending it to the end of the year. That hasn't passed yet. CARE program, that has a variety of loans and giveaways in it. And so it's just been really a monumental thing for me to witness. The fall was just brutally fast, and the recovery is not as quick. I mean, the fall was, looking at a chart of the Dow from February 13th to the high to the low of March 23rd. You know, what is that, 6 weeks? I mean, the Dow dropped 38%. And then from March 23rd to where we are today, which is the first part of May, we're seeing, you know, an increase of 20-something percent. And so you got to wonder, you know, what's going on here? The disconnect is raising the ire of many, thinking that, you know, what are we seeing here? What are we seeing here with it, where we're seeing the market take off while so many people are hurting? The thing about this particular event is there is something called a black swan event. A black swan event is something that happens that was not expected. We call that a high sigma event. A high sigma event is an event that statistically doesn't happen very often, like 9/11. That's a high sigma event. COVID, worldwide shutdown, is a very high sigma event. High sigma events are normally thought to be able to occur once in, you know, many, many tens of thousands of years. But we've had quite a few of them in the last 100 years or so, 50 years especially. So you're kind of wondering whether the metric itself is flawed. But when we see this type of event take place, you have to wonder, you know, what's the ramification going to be? A one-off event is like 9/11 or an assassination of a high official or a tsunami. That's an event that occurs and it hits the market and the market falls and then it's over. So you know that the market's going to fall and you know there is some trepidation about what it'll do to the economies and there's some unknowns about how badly it'll be hurt. But the event itself is over. That's a one-off event. And that's the way the majority of most events are. A war, well, you don't know when it's going to be over, but you can follow the progression of it. In fact, when the United States went into Iran in the Middle East, the market took off because it was like, oh, this is going to be good news. It's going to be solved. The thing with the corona event is that we don't know when it's going to end. We already know the damage has been horrific. And we already know that the Federal Reserve and the government is stepping forward with trillions of dollars. I mean, the amount of money that they're throwing at it, 08 and 09 was $5 trillion and about $7 trillion in guarantees and loans. My prediction that this is going to be over $10 trillion and money going where you'll never even hear about. So, and because we don't know if it'll end, what if it comes back? I mean, if it comes back and we have to shut down again. Now, I will tell you, on the island of Hokkaido in Japan, they opened up sometime in February, late February, and they had shut down for 3.5 weeks. And the skinny was is that they opened up a little too early and the virus came back and they had to reclose again. So I know there's been a lot of protests, people saying, well, we got to reopen and we're going broke. And there's discussions about how many people are going to die from poverty, starvation, domestic violence, suicide, drug overdose, abuse, stress, heart attacks from being shut down? How many marriages are going to be dissolved? How many bank accounts? How many retail stores are going to be wiped out? I think 25% of small retail is going to be wiped out. Indeed, the landscape is changing. And so, but we don't know, again, we have to go through this again. Then what? I mean, it's also dividing the nation. You know, half the nation wants to stay shut down. The other half of the nation wants to open up. There's protests to you know, have people continue to wear masks and the rest. And there's protests to have the country open up. You know, I, for the most part, for the minimum, you know, don't get, and this is my opinion, don't get why people are afraid of wearing masks. I mean, I don't think it's a breach on my freedom to wear a mask. I mean, like Jim Cramer on CNBC said, to Vice President Pence, and Pence said, well, everybody's probably going to get it. Jim Cramer says, I don't want to get it. I'm the same way. I don't want to get this thing. So at least we can do is wear masks. There's a part of me that thinks, you know, if we would have just all worn masks and practiced social distancing and hand washing and all this stuff early on, maybe we might not have had to shut down. Because I know economically, because that's what I study, this shutdown is going to cause a complete change of the business environment. It is going to, in my opinion, wipe out the retail real estate market. Because now companies are probably not going to rehire all their people because they're realizing, hey, wait a minute, I may not need all our people. Now companies are operating, some are operating very well at home through the video conferencing, and companies that I call on, like the insurance companies and the rest. Every time I get somebody they're answering the phone from home, and in my opinion, I'm getting faster response because somebody might be at a cooler and the phone rings at the office. They'll say, the hell with that. I'll just let the phone ring. I'm talking to Bob. But at home, you're sitting on the counter and you're making coffee and the phone rings. You're thinking, gee, I better answer it because that's what I'm here for. And the boss might get mad if I don't answer my phone. But I'm talking to a lot of people that say they're getting used to working at home. So this business environment has radically, radically changed. And coming out of this, I think retail is going to be completely decimated. People are going to have to rethink their seating arrangements. I don't know how long this paranoia, I don't know how long this concern, I don't know how long we're going to have to social distance to keep this thing under control. And so there are so many unknowns here, in my opinion, for this market to run like this. And with us not knowing what we're doing, this is not going to be a V-shaped recovery where we just go into a horrible downward spiral and then pop back out of it again. Because there are way too many unknowns. GDP for the United States, all the money that's transacted in goods and services, is going to be historically devastated. So many businesses are going to be devastated. The landscape is going to change. In my opinion, the movie theater business might go out of business. Because you got to pack a movie theater. It's only a matter of time before the next one comes up. So we have to be extremely, extremely careful here. So like I said, we have no idea the ramifications of this. Is this market in disconnect? I think there is hope. And the market is reflecting hope. And the market always will reflect reality eventually. But I've always said the markets reflect everybody's opinion of all the players in it on any specific day, but it will represent reality eventually. And I think I know everybody wants to go, oh yeah, we can all go to the beach and party and do all the stuff and be great and go out and everything will be fine. But I don't think we know quite well what's going to happen here. There are still so many unknowns. So I would say that we have to be careful with this market. We have to really be careful. And with that, I welcome your emails. You can send me an email to the program director at your station. Our website is moneymanagementradio.com, where everything is free. So you can contact me through there. It's our way of saying thank you for listening to your community radio station. So we'll wrap up the show. We hope to be back live for our show soon. But for now, you're going to be hearing the 29-minute, 30-minute condensed versions like you're here now. And we won't be taking call-ins. But you can always send me an email through the website. You have been listening to show number 306. And remember, discussions in this show should not be considered investment advice. I am an investment advisor representative through Cambridge Investment Research Advisors Incorporated, a registered investment advisor. Views expressed are my opinions only and may not necessarily represent those of this station, Cambridge, its staff, management, or underwriters. I hold California Insurance License OL34249. Money Matters is aired on 66 stations nationwide, and you can send me an email at news@moneymanagementradio.com. I want to thank you for listening. You have been listening to show 306. Welcome back. Have a great day, and thanks for listening. My name is Mark Cuniberti. Money, it's a hit.